We'll go to Mississippi later in the show, but first to New Orleans, where the evacuation of tens of thousands of people is underway. Downtown continues to look like a humanitarian crisis. But on the western part of the city, the federal government and the Army and local police forces have two staging areas to gather evacuees and take them to shelters, mostly out of state. NPR's Mike Pesca visited one staging area under the I-10 freeway.
Thousands of people, black and white, filthy and rank, with a collective energy level that ranged from zombie-like to merely exhausted. Members of the crowd said they felt like animals, but the hundreds of actual animals that were there could barely muster a collective growl. The Red Cross was cooking hot dogs, and officials distributed meals ready to eat, which soldiers compare unfavorably to high school cafeteria food, but the masses of people were happy to have.
Thank you.
Nathaniel Joseph and Ryan Washington's All Pringles diet was the least of the ordeals that this crowd went through. Many of these people were the ones you've seen rescued from the roofs by helicopters. More still hitched boat rides. Will Walker fled his house on Tuesday.
Completely destroyed. Completely. Everything inside is gone.
Walker's story is extraordinary and typical. Rooftop rescue, floating in contaminated water, dropped off on the closest patch of dry land.
Then we all got together. We broke into a church upstairs. It was on some pillars. And we spent the night there. That was horrible.
His rescue wasn't an event, but a multi-step process. Each time being dropped off by an official or citizen who had no advice other than, this is as far as I could take you.
So now we're at Saver Center. The windows are broken. It's called survival. I'm an okay guy, money-wise, so I'm not going to steal. So I didn't look at myself as stealing. We just had to survive, so we needed water, personal items, toiletries, and so forth.
Even the strongest were humbled by the hurricane. Eric Kroll was flooded out of his New Orleans home.
I mean, it was like toilet water, pretty much. And, I'm nauseated now trying to get my system back drinking water, but I just can't get it back to normal, I guess. It's just the whole big scenario, you know, it's stress. Yeah. I've been in the Marines and I've had stress, but nothing come close.
Kroll, like everyone else, was getting on the buses that ever so periodically showed up. They were going to, well, no one knew. The bus driver might say Dallas, he might say Houston. It didn't matter. People just wanted to get out and to get messages out to loved ones who they hadn't seen for days.
All right, Reva, I think you're in Mississippi. Beta, I think you're in Texas. Kia, wherever you at, call mama.
The helicopters that were landing on a muddy field on the other side of I-10 were the most visible means of rescue, but not the most common. Blackhawks can only hold 11 passengers. Army transport trucks can hold 30. Specialist Ryan Hessler is with the 1087th Division of the Army National Guard.
This is a FMTV. It's a 5-ton vehicle. We use it to transport troops, refugees, supplies, just anything. You can go through high water with it. We've been to the Superdome. We went through almost 6 feet of water in it. It's what the military uses now.
These are new vehicles. The 1087s left their old 5-tons back in Iraq, where they had been fitted with armor. These vehicles, nicknamed 5-tons, are new. The 1087th left their old 5-tons back in Iraq, where they had been fitted with armor. The trucks traveled in a convoy from the staging area to Algiers, a city almost directly across from the French Quarter on the other side of the Mississippi River. The 20-mile-long drive, which is double the distance of the most direct route, passed by broken-down homes, downed power lines, a smoldering mall which had been on fire for hours, nearly empty streets, and once in Algiers, a half hour later, this strange sight.
These are where the crews were passing by, where the crews built their floats. Tuck's Den, Eden's Den, for Mardi Gras, and this is Mardi Gras World.
The sign at the Algiers ferry terminal proclaimed Algiers, New Orleans' best-kept secret. And indeed, the bedraggled crowd looked like humanity's cast-offs. Bob Schmidt of Araby, Louisiana, made his way here from a ferry in Chalmette. And before that, he couldn't really remember. He had only slept 7 out of the last 100 hours.
Everything's been destroyed.
You're wearing everything you own.
I'm wearing everything I own. A t-shirt, underwear, jeans, and sandals. That's it.
Have you had anything to eat or drink?
Not for a while. You know, it's just so stressful, you can't get hungry.
The evacuees, with all the vim they could manage, lightly applauded the soldiers. But the dynamic was clearly one of policemen and the policed. Specialist Hessler, forced to focus on a practical aspect of coming into contact with hundreds of refugees, continuously applied an antibacterial mousse to his hands.
Well, yeah, because all the sewage is backed up, and they've wade around in water, and that's just nasty. It's just nasty. There's feces everywhere. There's urine, everything.
Unfortunately, the crowd at the terminal was about 180 strong, and the 5 tons can only hold about 150. Two elderly people, incongruously perched on office furniture, were left behind. They were given priority, but said they wanted to wait for buses they heard were coming rather than climb the 5 feet or so into the back of the 5 tons. For the other evacuees on the trucks, it was a trip back to the staging area, and then to somewhere else, where they didn't know it was just away from here. Mike Pesca, NPR News, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.